this is Niggin that they sing, this is Babish and Niggin.
Hi, good night, everybody, and with Hashem, that's nice to be Shalayim to celebrate Sukkot, to celebrate the Simchat Space of Shalayva. And I briefly just want to talk about two related things. One is the general idea of Simcha and Sukkot, and the second is the specific connection of Simcha to the water drawing ceremony, because even if Sukkot is a happy time, why should that be connected to the water drawing ceremony per se? The joy of Sukkot really is both in terms of its agricultural cycle, it is part of the ingathering, but more importantly, it commemorates Hashem accepting us, surrounding us, enveloping us with the clouds of glory in the aftermath of Yom Kippur. It's kind of the tangible sign of Hashem's love and the fact that we are reconnected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. And thus the Vilna Gaon makes the point that the commemoration of the clouds of glory that Sukkot commemorates is not the Anani HaKavod that we received when we left Mitzrayim. Otherwise, Sukkot should have been during Pesach, but it is the Anani HaKavod that were restored to us after the sin of the golden calf, which was forgiven on Yom Kippur. And after Yom Kippur, people began contributing to the Mishkan, and on Sukkot, the Vilna Gaon makes a cheshbon, the 15th of the month, 5 days after Yom Kippur, the Anani HaKavod came back. It's interesting that the Gemara in Tainus tells us that there were three things that Hashem gave us in the desert, and each of them are connected to one of the three leaders. In the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, we got the man that fell from heaven. In the merit of Miriam, we had the traveling well of water, and that's why when Miriam died, that well dried up. And finally, in the merit of Aaron, we were zocheh to the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory that protected us. And that is why when Aaron died, those clouds of glory were also nistalek. The Mabit, in the Sefer Beis Elokim, asks Akasha, we know we have the holiday of Sukkot to commemorate the Anani HaKavod, but why is that the only one of the three gifts that we celebrate? We don't have a Monday, Monday in the week, but we don't have a Monday, we don't have a well day, etc. Why is it that we have a holiday only for the Anani HaKavod? And the Mabit gives a few answers. One answer he gives is that we don't want to commemorate the man or the well, because they came through machlokas. The man came because the Jewish people were complaining, how are we going to eat in the desert? You took us out in the desert to kill us, etc. So it came through a complaint. The well also came because people were complaining, where is the water? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want there to be a Yom Tov that is based on machlokas, based on animosity, based on dissension. The Anani HaKavod, however, came b'shalom. It came through peace. It was a gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was not connected in any way to animosity or machlokas. And that's why we have a holiday, a Yom Kippur, commemorating it. The second answer the Mabit gives is that man and be'er, bread and water, are necessities of life. Hashem has to give us that in some way. In other words, Hashem has pledged himself not to destroy the Jewish people. So to give us bread, to give us water, that does not yet show divine love. Bread and water, that's survival. The Anani HaKavod, that sense of closeness, that was a gift. That was frosting on the cake. That was something beyond basic survival. And for that, we have a celebration. And the third teretz the Mabit gives, also very powerful teretz, he says, the man and the be'er were past events, which we might remember or commemorate. The Anani HaKavod is a present reality that one can experience now. Maybe I don't see the cloud, but the Shechina that protects us, that nurtures us, is not only something that was there in the past, it is something that is here right now. And in that sense, Sukkot is Zman Simchaseinu, because we can leave the illusion of our homes, our security, our protection, our fortresses. We put ourselves in a vulnerable, precarious environment. But we do so with the serenity and the security of knowing that if Hashem is with us, there is nothing that can defeat us. Baruch Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, in many ways, we are more aware of the special relationship God has with the Jewish people. I've heard even secular Israelis say that life in Israel, by definition, is miraculous. You have to believe in miracles every single day. otherwise you're irrational. A miracle is the only rational way to live in this land of Hashgacha Pratis that we see every day. And therefore, when we move into the sukkah, we recognize, as we really should recognize the whole year, the precariousness and fragility of our existence, but at the same time being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this great, great relationship of love. Now, we know that sukkah has an abundance of very, very special mitzvahs. We have the sukkah, we have the lulav and the esrog. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was another unique ceremony that only applied in the temple itself. That is, every single day, sacrifices were brought. A morning sacrifice, an afternoon sacrifice. And every single day, twice a day, there was a libation of wine that would be poured. After the animal parts would be sacrificed on the altar, we would pour wine on the Mizbeach. Sukkot, we also did that. But in addition to pouring the wine on the altar, there was an additional pouring of water, Nisach Hamayim, and this occurred for only the 7 days of Sukkot, the Gemara says, because on Sukkot we're judged for water, so we give Hashem a sacrifice of water. According to one opinion, it was also done on Shemini Atzeres, but be it either 7 days or 8 days. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara, I don't want to get too overly technical, although technicalities are quite interesting. What is the source? Can't help it, no. But what is the source of the water ritual? According to one opinion, there is no source in the Torah itself. It is an oral halacha that was given to Moshe at Sinai, and it is part of the oral law. There is no source in the written Torah. According to another opinion, it is derived from the fact that when the Torah describes the daily offerings of Sukkot, and normally it talks about the wine libation, but in one of the places, instead of the niska, which is singular, it says niskehem, there's an extra mem, and then another one, unasacheha, an extra yud, and then again, v'niskehem, a mem, yud, mem, it spells out mayim, and that's Rav Yehuda's drasha. Again, there's some very interesting nafkaminas, because if you're using the mem, yud, mem to spell mayim, you're using a final letter to actually spell a word that would begin with a non-final letter. And the Gemara itself indicates that according to Rabbi Yehuda, b'di'evet, if you wrote a final letter and you should have written a regular letter, it would be kosher, because that's in fact how the Torah spells the word mayim. So there's interesting halachic implications for ksiva sefer Torah in the makor of Nisach HaMayim. But be it as it may, Nisach HaMayim was part of the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, but the Mishnah in Sukkah tells us that they would do this in the morning, but the night before, they would spend the whole night, every night of Sukkot, except for Shabbos and Yom Tov night, they would spend rejoicing, dancing, singing. And then at the crack of dawn, there would be a procession to the Shiluach, right? Go to the Shiluach Siloam, right over there, and in that spring they would draw the water and they would bring it. But the whole night, every night of Sukkot, it was called a Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the joy of the drawing of the water. And the Gemara says, Mi Shalai Ra Simchas Beis HaShoeva, if somebody did not see the joy of the water drawing, Lai Ra Simcha Miyamav, they never saw what Simcha was. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that we didn't sleep the whole week. Now the Gemara explains you can't really go more than 3 days without sleeping, but it means we would drowse, we would just lean against the wall, etc. Because we were rejoicing the whole night, and then we had the karbanos, and then we had the davening, then we had the learning, and then we had the sudas yom tov, and then it was time for the night celebration again. And the whole thing started over and over and over again. The Talmud Yerushalmi tells us, one has to be careful, too much what Sewer Simcha can take you. That Yonah ben Amittai, the Navi Yonah, we read about him on Yom Kippur, he was given the mission to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to give Nineveh, these Rishayim, the message of tshuva, because he felt it would look bad for the Jewish people that they didn't do tshuva, and Nineveh does tshuva. But the Gemara says Yonah didn't go to Navi school. Yonah did not train to be a Navi. Yonah was not from a family of Neviim. But what happened was he was so involved in the simcha of Simchas Beis HaShoeva that he reached the level of Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. So be careful. You never know where simcha can take you. But as Rosh Hashiva, Rav Shiller often says, if Chazal say Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah can only come when you're joyous, And the question is, we have so many Nevuahs in Tanakh that are sad and tragic. Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha. All the Nevi'im talk about the Churban. And yet they couldn't have gotten that Nevuah without Simcha. And the answer is that somehow simultaneously, there is the Simcha of being connected to Hashem, where even if you deal with tragedy, you have a Simcha that is coexisting at the same time. The power of Simcha can get a person through every type of situation. There are difficulties in life. There are challenges in life. There are things that don't go the way we want. Klal Yisrael as a whole, we've gone through so many tragedies. But the Simcha in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the koach to go forward. A person can reach Ruach HaKadosh. And in fact, according to one opinion in the Gemara, although Shoeva, of course, means drawing water, but according to another interpretation, Misham Shoavim Ruach HaKodesh. They would draw divine inspiration from that Simcha space of Shoeva. And it mentions, again, the Rambam mentions, but it's really all from the Mishnah and from the Gemara, that the great Tanoim, famous people, Rabbi Shimon Lamiel, people that we learn about all the time, they would juggle torches and do tricks and acrobatics. And just as when David HaMelech was dancing in front of the Aron HaKodesh as it was being brought to Yerushalayim, and his wife Michal said, this is not fitting for a king to behave like a wild person dancing around and jumping around. And David HaMelech says, to honor Hashem by the expression of our joy is the greatest thing that a person can do. He says, I would go even beyond this, to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our bodies. You know, the whole year we try to honor Hashem, hopefully, with our learning, with our mind, and with our heart, with our tefillas. And we do that on Sukkot, of course, also. But also we bring in our physical bodies. Kol atzmosai tamarna Hashem mikamocha. David HaMelech says, all of my bones say to Hashem, who is like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the dancing of Simcha Space Shoeva. But there is one remaining question that needs to be explored. And that is, okay, I understand Sukkot is a time of Simcha, and I understand how important Simcha is, but why is it connected to the water ceremonies, connected to Lulav and Esrav? The Torah itself uses the word Simcha, the Gavi Lulav and Esrav, Usmachtem Lusnei Hashem Elokeichem, Shivas Yomim. So if there is a Simcha, and if Sukkot is Zman Simchaseinu, I understand that, but why would I bedafka connect the Simcha aspect to the pouring of the water, al gabei hamizbeach? Pick some other mitzvah, especially a mitzvah where the Torah Gufa says a simcha is lulav and esrog. Right, that's why lulav and esrog in the mikdash, and some say the old city as a whole, is doraisa for 7 days, usmachtem l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yomim, as opposed to even the rest of Eretz Yisrael, it's only one day doraisa, and it's only zecher l'mikdash that we do it the other day. So Rav Hutner says, offers a very, very beautiful insight. First of all, there are many, many mahalchim here. Some of this is miyusid very deeply in Kabbalah. I'm just going to allude to it. I'm not going to be marichin. Number one, I cannot claim to be an expert. Number two, we don't have a lot of time. Basically, we know that on Sukkot, we bring korbanos. The bulls of Sukkot equal the number 70. 70 bulls. And the Gemara says this is connected to 70 nations of the world that tried to destroy us. The Vilna Gaon has an Arichos in which he says, although there are 70 nations, spiritually, the two enemies of the Jewish people are the Koach of Esav and the Koach of Yishmael, even though many nations are not related to either Esav or Yishmael, but spiritually, some nations are connected to Esav, some are connected to Yishmael. In modern times, we see this very, very clearly because Esav eventually became the Christian nations, and Yishmael eventually became the Islamic nations. So we clearly see that we live in a world where we have the Esavs and we have the Yishmaels coming together. In fact, even the United States, one might argue, is a chibur of Esav and Yishmael. We have an Esav country with a president who at least comes from Islamic background. It's an interesting idea of the chibur of Esav and Yishmael. And there are many, many images here exactly how the last Geula will be the struggle against Yishmael. And it's brought down that Esav is described as the danger of fire. Right? We say, Hashem, you have put us through fire and water. Esav is Esh. Yishmael is fire. Nisach HaYayin, which is red, it's kind of like the color of fire, if you a little bit of a stretch. That represents our attempt to be miskaber against Esav. But Sukkot is specifically tied, although Esav is here too, it's specifically tied to the downfall of Yishmael. And that's why Sukkot is connected. In fact, some want to say the imagery that Zechariah uses, that Moshiach is an oni, will be like a poor person that is rochev al hachamor, that will be riding on a donkey. Yishmael is referred to as a donkey. It refers to Mashiach, who will eventually vanquish Yishmael. So part of Misachamayim is it is the ultimate downfall of the Koach of Yishmael, which is the final galus before Mashiach. But Rav Huttner says a bit of a simpler answer, although Rav Huttner's words are always very, very profound. Rav Huttner says the following. The Midrash tells us that on the second day of creation, Hashem created what is called a firmament, a rakia, that separated between the upper waters and the lower waters, right? There are the waters in heaven with Hashem, and then there are the waters on earth. And the Midrash says that the lower waters cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the lower waters said, why have you separated us from you? We want to be connected to you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there will be 1 week a year in which the lower waters will be taken from their earthly source. They will be poured on the Mizbeach, coming back to Hashem by being a korban to Hashem. And that is the reunification of the Mayim HaTachtonim, the lower water, and the Mayim HaElyonim. Rav Huttner said, that is exactly what we are. Throughout the year, we have become progressively more separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every time we do Averis, you know, we are separated. Averis, the Rambam writes, and really it's a pasuk, Averis are a machitza. Averis are like a wall of separation. And we have so many walls in terms of our actions, in terms of our kavanas, in terms of the imperfect execution of even our good intentions. And we become more and more and more rachak. And when a person is rachak from Hashem, that creates sadness, and that creates despair, and that creates depression. And a person can sometimes feel that I'm so rachok from Hashem that even if I get a tshuva, even after Yom Kippur, good, Hashem forgave me. Hashem wiped the slate clean. But how can I be close to Hashem? I'm so rachok from Hashem. Nisach HaMayim reminds us that even that which became nisrachek from HaKadosh Baruch Hu can always be reunited and reconnected. So when I see those waters that were separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu so many thousands of years ago, being reunited and going out to Mizbeach, I realize no matter how far you are, you can always go home again. You have to go home again. You can always go home again. And therefore, the simcha of the Nisach HaMayim is the simcha that the rachik can become the karev. And therefore, that adds to our joy of why Sukkot is Zaman Hosseinu. Let me just end with one final maisa, which is really not connected to anything I said, but it's a cute maisa. Many of you, of course, have read the books of Pesach Kron, a famous writer. He's a mullah, but he's a famous modern-day magi. He tells many, many stories. But this is a story that I believe is not in his book. So I heard it's Torah, Pesach Kron, Torah Shabbal Peh. I don't know why. Maybe I haven't kept up with all the books. Maybe by now it's there. But I heard it at a time when it was not in any book. And this was a story that, you know, he had guests over for Shabbos. And one of the guests that he had for one Shabbos meal was a person who had just become a Shomer Shabbos. But he had been his career. What was his career beforehand? He had been a competitive cyclist. He used to ride these marathon bicycle races like the Tour de France, etc., which obviously you can't really do if you're Shomer Shabbos because the bulk of the travel is over weekends, Saturday and Sunday. So he said he had to give it up. He said he had to give it up because he wanted to be a Shomer Shabbos and he could no longer practice bicycling competitively. So the question always is, as these conversations go, was it hard to give it up? You know, was it so difficult that you had to give it up to become a Shomer Shabbos? We're always interested in, you know, the other side of things. And the person said the following idea. The person said, in many ways, I found becoming a religious Jew was very much like competitive bicycling. How is that so? Why is it the same? He said, you know, when you're a competitive cyclist or any type of sport at a very high level, an Olympic swimmer, you know, the differences between first and second are not like one guy is, you know, an hour ahead of the other person. These are not only seconds, these are fractions of seconds, right? Now, when the difference between you and the next guy is only a fraction of a second, you have to get rid of everything you don't need. So, you know, you shave, you know, the hair on your arms or whatever it is. So if you're a cyclist, you throw away the scarf. So he says, being a competitive cyclist taught me to get rid of all of the junk that weighs you down in life and just keep what you have to have and recognize that so many things are really superfluous. And if they are superfluous, they drag you down. I became a yid. That's exactly what the Torah teaches me. Focus on what's important. Don't get distracted. Don't get cluttered with all of the things that people think are real and important and significant. And memela, that's part of the lesson of Sukkah too. On some level, again, it may not always manifest the way our modern Sukkahs are, but Sukkah is also about making life simpler a little bit, moving away from the luxury and the fanciness to focus on the ikkar and the basic. And that way to unclutter yourself. And by uncluttering yourself, you're able to focus on what is emes and what is true and what is necessary. And don't get distracted by anything else. So, Be'ezus Hashem, I hope that all of us will be zocha, to be mishtatef in the true simcha of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to know that no matter how far we may have wandered, and all of us have wandered to a certain degree, this is a time when the rachayk becomes the karev. And just as we have joy in our relationship with Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has joy in our relationship as well. So, Chag Sameach.